Absolutely. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's Rule of Procedures Working Group and Metrics Subcommittee call on Monday, the 9th of July. We have Olivier Tréfort-Leblanc, Sandra Hofer-Richter, Salanieta Tamanita-Waimaro, Roosevelt King, Adito Singerola, Elvi Atahun, Jacqueline Morris, Rudy Van Zyl, Darlene Thompson, Dev Allen Pilusing, Alan Greenberg. On the Spanish channel, we have Sergio Salinas Porto and Fatima Cambronero. Apologies from Eduardo Diaz, Natalia Enciso, Maureen Hilliard, Alejandro Pisanti, Silvia Headline Leiter, Holly Resch, Tijani Benjema, Sente Sutmanan, Boudouin Chambé and Haja Ouattara. On staff, we have Matt Astiani, Sylvia Vivanco, Heidi Ulrich and myself, Isla Gruber. Our interpreters today on the Spanish channel are Veronica and Sabrina. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but also to allow the interpreters to know who is speaking. Thank you, Cheryl. Over to you.
Thank you, Gabriel, and welcome to everybody. I will apologise now for background noise, and I'll just ask you, am I speaking loudly enough to be heard?
This is Gisela, yes, thank you.
Okay, terrific. I'm actually in an airport lounge, so I can't be too loud. I'm also using the mobile...
Join.
Hi, Carlton. Hi, Carlton.
Hi, how are you? I'm so sorry I'm Hi. Having some...
Thank you. No problem. I'm also using the mobile Adobe Connect, so if Olivier or Gisela or someone could let me know if hands are up in the room, that would be greatly appreciated. Okay, looking to the agenda, which I can't scroll. Could you just scroll to the agenda, please, because doing it on my mobile, I'm not able to use more than one screen at a time. I believe the first thing on our agenda, however, was going to be a quick review of where we want to go on this combined call. And first of all, even though we do have a huge lineup here, we also have a number of apologies. This is because we are, in fact, a meeting of the whole. That's the Rule of Procedure Review Work Group and the subgroup for metrics. What we're going to do today is bring together what we have achieved up until Prague and at the Prague breakout sessions, do some planning on how we will proceed between now and the Toronto meeting, and make sure that we have the appropriate logistics and agreements from the actors who are engaged in the various drafting teams. For those of you who were not in the breakout sessions at the Prague meeting, we broke up into three groups, and those groups have carved up the logistic rules of procedure, not to slavishly follow the existing rules of procedure, but rather to decide which code, which stays and which is modified. To that end, what I'd like to do is, I know this, for example, we have Sala on the call. Perhaps if people could mute if they're not speaking, that would be useful. Sala, I know you led one of the breakout sessions. If you'd care to give a very brief review of your session to start with, and then if people who were involved in the other two sessions could identify themselves in the chat, we'll move to them. Just before we move to Sala, however, I just wanted to make sure that we're all very clear that the papers that were created during the breakout session will be somehow captured and transcribed onto the appropriate wiki workspaces by staff. But obviously in the week after Prague and with US holidays, that hasn't happened to date. Okay, Sala, over to you.
Gisela, we are just dialing out to Sala so that she's able to give the update.
Oh, okay. I thought she was already on, but never mind. Okay, well, let's move to the next group. Alan, while we're waiting for Sala, you were involved in the second drafting team. Over to you, Alan.
I'm a bit at a loss because I'm not sure I remember exactly what we did. Are there any notes at all available from us? You're getting me cold on this. I didn't realize I was going to be talking about this.
Well, you see, that's the luck of me knowing how good you are under normal circumstances of remembering what you've done.
And I'm good enough to admit I don't remember what we talked about. If someone gives me a clue, it'll come back.
Let me refresh your memory to some extent then. Eduardo did the reporting, and that probably is why your memory isn't quite as crisp and clear as it normally is.
It's coming back now. Let me give it a try.
Okay, go for it.
We talked a fair amount about what is currently called the Executive Committee and the process of how these people would be selected. We didn't come up with any specific answers, but we reconfirmed that we believe that there should still be something resembling the Executive Committee under whatever name, and there should be five people on it, one representing each region. There was a feeling that it was important that the chair be named by the overall organization, by the overall ALAC, to ensure that there was confidence in the chair, because there was feeling that that whatever we end up with as the detailed rules, there is going to be discretion for the chair, and the chair will have to be someone that we have confidence in. I can't hear anything right now. There's some horrible noise going on.
Okay, I think they fixed it, but yes, it was deafening.
Okay. We did have a bit of a discussion about to what extent should we have details in the rules of procedure. That is, you know, the exact process for holding meetings, how motions are voted on, how one amends motions, and all of the details. We did not come to any conclusion on that. Some people feel comfortable referring to a document. In the U.S., it's Robert's Rules of Records. I don't know what it is in other parts of the world. Latin Americans seem to feel that we need all of the detailed rules enshrined in our rules of procedure in full gory detail. It's not clear that's a uniformly held position. Other groups within ICANN use either the GNSO, I think, refers to Robert's Rules of Records. The board makes no reference whatsoever in any public documents, but just presumes everyone will know how the rules work. That's something that needs to be settled, and we need to get confirmation on. I don't think we did a lot more other than talking about the structure of the ALAC, operationally, the management of it, and how we actually make decisions and things like that. But I think that's a quick summary of what we talked about. I may have forgotten something without having any notes.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl, for the transcript record, and I think you did more than an admirable job having caught you on the hop. I think what's important too, Alan, is to recognise that your drafting team will also be taking into account the current discussions that have been going on the list since Jean-Jacques' intervention at the wrap-up session. And so the matter of, in inverted commas, portfolios, etc., probably falls into that drafting team to chew on as well, and to come up. Perhaps this is one of those times when you might want to offer the ALAC a couple of alternatives rather than a single one.
Let me go into that just for a moment. We have already been talking about making explicit something which is already de facto, that is, the chair can delegate things, and that they can't only be delegated to the vice chairs, they can be delegated as necessary, period. And I think that really covers a lot of it. I certainly, I'm giving a personal point of view, not the group, because we didn't discuss this, But I think it would be wrong to enshrine in the rules of procedure how the portfolios are grouped together or and how the subjects are divided. That's very, very dependent on the skills of the individuals involved and the interests and the important issues of the time. And I, although I think we want to enshrine the concept, I don't think we would want to enshrine the details. Now, that is a personal opinion, and you know, clearly we may go some other way. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan Sherrill, for the transcript record. And my personal opinion is here. I think that's a very sensible way forward as well. It may be then, Sala, that the concept of key activities as described in the tripartite model that Jean-Jacques Duprenet has proposed to the ALAC might be considered in the work group, in the drafting team, which is more overall and conceptual description and definitional work. Now, Sala, I assume you're now on the audio line and you'll be able to give a very brief update on the drafting team that you were involved in. Over to you, Sala.
Just check to see if you can hear me.
We can.
Thank you. Very quickly, we were tasked with reviewing the definitions as well as Article 1, basically, in relation to the ALEC. And people that contained it. People sort of gathered in Prague was Sylvia and myself. And one of the things that am I hearing an echo?
No, I think that might have been my background noise. I tried to cover the microphone. I do apologise. That was Cheryl. Go ahead, Sala.
Essentially, when we were looking at the terms and the definitions and that sort of thing, we noted that I've sort of put the link. We noticed that there are certain definitions that are missing from the current terms and definitions because of the nature of at large is after this form that sort of thing, things like efficiency, cross-working groups and that sort of thing. And so what we also looked at was different perceptions of governance models and sort of illustrated it by drawing diagrams. We've yet to officially meet with Dev so that he can properly put it in a better way than what we sort of did. And essentially we went into discussions of the ALAC structure and that sort of thing. And as Cheryl had mentioned, there have been comments floating on the ALAC mailing list in relation to this particular section that we were tasked with reviewing. Pertinent. So what we're beginning to do is we've begun, if you visit the link that was placed in, we've sort of put it into the wiki, and that's going to be a place where we'll document everything. And in terms of progress, stopped at Prague. Whatever we did at Prague we haven't set up a call yet to sort of work further, but it shouldn't take us long once we get our call sorted and that sort of thing. And again, I'd like to thank Yaovi for the excellent work and Sergio and Sylvia and others who've been commenting on the wiki. Thank you.
Cheryl, if I may make a comment, it's Alan speaking.
Yes, Alan.
Yeah. I think we need to make to put out in writing, again, on the wiki or a mailing list or something, exactly what the definitions of the subgroups are, because there's a fair amount of overlap between the one I was on and the one that Sala was on. And it's the worst thing I think we want is to have two groups working on the same thing come up with different answers and then have to, you know, fight over which one is the best one. So to the extent that we can carefully define these things so that we don't have two groups working on the exact same thing, that would be good. Thank you.
Sanskrit record. Yes, Alan, thank you for that. And I will be working as will I. Well, we'll get to the administrivia on the work groups, but that's certainly something that I noted even at the breakout sessions. There was a little bit of drift, particularly between work groups, drafting team 1 and 2. So we will get to make sure that that is on the wiki space, and we'll get to that administrivia part and the mechanisms of how we take the next steps after we hear from the next group. Now, I'm struggling to find someone on the call who was in the next group. I'm unaware of anyone who was in that group being on this call, unfortunately. That's fine. I'll very, very briefly do what I can remember, recognising that Matt will be creating the notes into the new workspaces in short order, I'm sure. Was Dev in the same group with Fatimata? I didn't think Renalia or Dev are on this call, though. Oh, Dev, you're there. Sorry, darling. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello?
Go ahead, Dev.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yes, I was in the third group with Tijani, Fatimata, and Renalia. I have to confess, I don't have the notes in front of me because I didn't collect it.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, good. But generally what we were doing was we were looking at all the various exceptions in the bylaws that, for example, I don't have every single one, I'm not going to quote every single one, but the example was, for example, the one that says that the ELAC chair cannot be on the nominating committee whenever there's a recall of a liaison and so forth. One of the exceptions that we thought was going to be, should be the norm was virtual meetings. And given that the ELAC works a lot of time virtually, that should be restated as a norm rather than an exception. So that's a brief summary of it. That's it.
Cheryl here for the transcript record. I did it at the end of my sentence rather than at the beginning. What I'd like to do next is make sure those who were not at the breakout session, that they're comfortable with their understanding of what was done, recognising that we will be putting up the notes that were made by each of the drafting teams very, very shortly, and that we will be having three subspaces for the discussions of each of the drafting teams. If you've got any questions, I'll just break now and see if anyone has any questions or concerns. And if someone can tell me if there's any hands up.
Looking at no hands up.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Cheryl here. Okay, in which case, if you can just check for me, I think the next part of the agenda was moving now on to where we'll be going to in terms of agreed points from what we've heard so far today. We have a couple of decisions or discussions that we can at least start. One is to do with the efficacy of use of something or reference use of something like Robert's Rules of Procedure, and the other matter is of course, the issue whether we need to have key activities enshrined in our definitions beyond those, of course, that are in the bylaws. And to some extent, Jean-Jacques Supremé's intervention is a finessing of the requirements that are by law mandated anyway. I think they're probably the two primary points for our discussion in the next 15 or 20 minutes, Ben. I'd just like to pause and see if there's anyone else who wants to put another specific discussion point for a potential agreed issue.
It's Alan. One small more other point.
Please go ahead, Alan.
Yeah. One of the other things we discussed in my group, which I forgot, was the whole issue of, in addition to how we should enshrine the rules, whether it's a pointer to an external document or in the documents, there was general acceptance that we wanted to move away from the UN rules. Their terminology was just inappropriate. They're far more complex and convoluted than anything we need for the, you know, for our level of discussion. So there was general acceptance to move away from UN rules, noting that the RALOs in some cases still point to them, but presuming that those would be redefined at some point also. Thank you.
And certainly this is something that has my personal support, despite the fact that I was part of the drafting team that used the UN rules to create the rules we have in the first place. And mea culpa on that one, I'm afraid.
Cheryl, it's Alan. We had no choice. Let's just leave it at that. there were powers greater than ours.
Well, we'll have to fix that, won't we, Alan? To that extent, let me put that to this group, recognising that general agreement in this group will also be reviewed at our next meeting, because we won't settle anything on a first call. That allows for people to respond to the meeting notes and to have online discussion and opinion discussed anything as well. So, first of all, for the meeting that... we give the referencing and use of the UNGA rules a decent burial, with our heartfelt thanks for all the fun they've given us over the last 6 or 7 years, and that we create a leaner, more responsive, more modern and more usable set of rules. So that's what's on the table. Does anyone other than me and Alan want to speak to that, and then I'll call for anyone who wishes to speak against it.
Cheryl, it's Alan. To the extent anyone has suggestions on where we go to get the rules for running meetings, just the normal run-of-the-mill stuff, because there is no consensus at this point what we use, that would be useful if anyone has any ideas. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alan. Cheryl here. We'll take that as our next point. First of all, let's see if we can give the UNGA rules a decent burial, or even an indecent burial. Just said burial would be good as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so what we have on the table is that we have a clear mandate for the Rules of Procedure Work Group to not utilise the UNGA rules, not reference the UNGA rules, come up with a set of rules which are uniquely designed but are based on principles that are well known, internationalised and best practice. I've spoken to it, Alan has spoken to it, Darlene is agreeing with it. Is there anyone who wishes to speak against this? Sorry, who is that? Go ahead, Carlton.
Yes, I would agree with that. We, as Alan said, we had to use the UNGA rules, and it's not just the UNGA rules, but several other organization rules that were pieced together. I think it's a good time to put them to rest. I would endorse forming a set of generic rules that's good for us. I would further advance the proposition that we, as we have done before, think at the high level of the various areas of a generic set of rules as we have, and let's agree on those generic areas and then work through the details. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton, and indeed recognising that this will have a knock-on or trickle-down or next effect on the regions. I think it is important that we do hear from all the regions on this. And to that end, it might be appropriate, if we agree on this at this meeting today, to ask for the next regional meetings to perhaps spend 2 or 3 minutes discussing it. And I'm sure Olivier or myself would be more than happy to be present at any of those meetings if any questions need to be asked. So does anyone wish to speak against this? Otherwise, we will take this as consensus.
Hi, Cheryl.
Yes.
Salieta, someone is tomorrow for the transcript. Just like to say that yes, there are a lot of resources out there, but even within the team, I'm sure there's enough resources to put our heads together to look at potential options that would fit at large ALAP and that sort of thing. And I also agree that there's a need for regional consultations because it's going to affect everything in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. And yes, having written more than my fair share of these sorts of things in the past as well, you don't even have to be a lawyer. Okay. If I can't see or hear of anyone who is objecting to this or wishing to speak against it, just let me check with the Spanish channel. Are we fine in Spanish?
Gerald, this is Heidi.
Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
Yes, is that an action item that you would like to request staff to ask the RALO officers to add that issue regarding the UN rule to the next RALO agenda?
Yes, and what we'll do is we will formulate a reasonable set of words for the discussion point, rather than I think what we should be doing is making a positive statement for the discussion, rather than say we're just going to ditch the UN rules. I think we need to put a paragraph together, so we can do that at the planning meeting.
Cheryl, this is Carlton.
Yes, Carlton, go ahead.
Thank you, Cheryl Carlton, for the record. Just to follow up with Heidi's suggestion, just to make sure, just to say that this committee is supposed to be balanced anyway, so the members of the senior leadership of the RALOs should be on this committee, or representatives from that committee, from the RALOs should be here. So it is purely informational that we sent this out as a separate issue. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Carlton. Sure, for the transcript record. Okay, well, what I might do, I think staff AI needs to be rewritten. If rather than spend time discussing application of UN rules, it's actually spend time discussing the design of
the new
rules of procedure.
Absolutely.
So we won't mention the UNGA at all, and if you'd like to share that AI staff, at our next planning meeting, what we might do is come up with an affirmative statement as a result of today's meeting and the consensus of this meeting, that can then go out as a discussion point to the next lot of regional meetings. Okay? So just modify that staff AI in the summary note. Excellent.
Cheryl Fatima has her hand up.
Fully agree.
Thank
that's
you.
Exactly what you should do.
Thank you, Carlton. Thank you, Alan. Fatima, please go ahead.
Thank you, Sherry. This is Fatima for the record. It's a question just to make a point of clarification. What we are discussing now is this. If RALOs are going to consult whether we are going to keep on using the UN rules or for the whole ALAC, that is not clear to me. Could you please clarify that?
Cheryl, for the transcript record. Yes, Fatima, I'll clear that up for you. What the consensus of this call is that we will be designing a more usable set of generic rules, and that these rules will be based on best practice models drawn from existing internationally recognised and plain language mechanisms that the Rules of Procedure Workgroup will draft a set of rules for the ALACS approval, and that what we are seeking is regional input into the discussion.
Cheryl, I have my hand up. Alan.
Thank you, Alan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I want to clarify that our current rules of procedure do talk about some of the structures that are also in the UN rules. We talk about motions and voting and various other things. And I don't think there was any intent to remove that from the rules. The invocation of the UN rules served to say, what do we do when our rules do not cover something? And we are not likely to have a 400-page set of rules, so we are going to have situations where they are not covered.
Yes.
And that is really what we're talking about. Because right now, as soon as we go into territory which is not covered by the rules of procedure explicitly, we now have to go into the fully complex UN rules.
Right.
Now, the consensus in the working group that met in Prague, I think it was a consensus, I won't swear to that, was that we cannot and do not want to try to cover all possible situations, but we do need a process for how do we address them. And one of the suggestions was that the chair or the chair's delegate have the right to make a decision on how something is handled if it is not explicitly covered. The rationale for that argument was the chair is selected by the whole ALAC. If they don't have confidence in the chair to make good decisions, they should change the chair. But if you have confidence in the chair, then you have to give that chair some discretion. And we are talking about things that only come up once a year, typically, or twice a year. They're not often occurrences. So that's a bit of the background. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Alan. Cheryl, the transcript record. One moment, Carlton. I just wanted to make the point that some of what Alan raised will be dealt with in our next point for consensus, which is use of things like Robert's Rules. Go ahead, Carlton.
Thank you, Cheryl. Carlton, for the record, I want to endorse fully what Alan just said. The UNGA rules are really for exception judgment and management. What we are saying is that we should make an assiduous effort to address 99% of what we do in a formal set of rules in which we framework the basic elements of the rules and then work through the details, and that this new set of rules should recognize the chair as a binding authority on the less than 2% of situations that may arise that will require some conflict. That's exactly what we agreed.
You have the chair.
In the way we are to operate. However, there are some things, and they may need to be identified in the rules, and the drafting teams might want to consider this, such as our formal voting for at-large structures to be endorsed as ICANN-accredited at-large structures. The ALAC has that as a delegated authority from ICANN, And as such, the matter of accountability and indeed transparency required around that process is something that probably does need to be enshrined into a voting process. The drafting teams may need to or wish to consider, are there any other things that also would be classified into that category? In other words, things that we do require a vote on. For example, at the moment, it is convention to vote on something that is going to be a statement of the ALAC. And again, that is something that that you may wish to enshrine, but that will be the work of the next 3 to 5 weeks, or perhaps 6 weeks. Okay, thank you for that. I think we have consensus. We now need to probably look to the transcript to get the best set of words to then put the reporting to both the ALAC and out to the regions. The next thing we need to deal with, and what I trust we will get consensus on in this call, is the use of a set of fallback position guidelines. Robert's Rules of Procedure are the ones that I have found in most of my work quite useful and applicable. Olivia, I know, has now dived into the wonderful world of Robert's Rules, and I think he may also might wish to speak about how useful it may be as a recommended reference for chair use. But it is something that comes in a whole lot of languages. It is something that comes even as an app these days. There's an Android and an Apple app for Robert's Rules. It has stood the test of both time and legislature. And so I would put it to this group that whilst I am speaking in the affirmative and in support of Robert's Rules as a reference, not as a guiding principle, but as a reference as required, I'd like to call for anyone else who wishes to speak, first of all, to the proposal that is a consensus and supported option. I see Olivier. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. It's Olivier for the transcript. Just to support your suggestion for Robert's Rules of Procedure, definitely something which I was introduced to, I wouldn't say recently, but introduced to by you within the past couple of years or so, and it certainly is something that will answer, I would say, 99% of the situations that one is faced with when acting as chair and when running meetings, et cetera, et cetera. In addition to that, I find the way that it is described to be very comprehensive, and for those people that are not versed in the art of some of the ways that it is discussed and described, there are also simplified versions, or certainly some explained versions of Robert's Rules of Procedure, which do help in the basics to start with. So the reference can be Robert's, the actual interpretation and understanding of it can be Robert's, plus the simplified versions that there are around. So that I would thoroughly support the use of Roberts, as opposed to the UN rules, which are so ambiguous, it sometimes is a case of them not making any sense at all whatsoever, and perhaps that was the reason. You know. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlton.
Thank you, Chair Carlton, for the record. I would endorse Roberts' rules as not just a reference, but as a guide to interpret what is rulings. I believe it's authoritative enough. I myself have been using it since I was 11 years old, and I have always found it in debates from high school level through varsity. It has to be authority and authoritative in helping us get through the process. So I don't see any other on the horizon that could substitute as effectively as this source. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton, and obviously I'm a fan of Robert's Rules. And what we will also do is make sure we have links to, as simplified in the four versions of Robert's Rules, to the Rules of Procedure wiki page, so that everyone can take the opportunity, whether they're in the Rules of Procedure review work group or not, to get themselves up to speed with them. Okay, to whilst I'm trying to speak over an announcement, I hope you can still hear me. Does anyone wish to speak against this concept before we put this as a consensus item onto our outcomes for this meeting?
Cheryl, it's Alan. I had my hand up enough to speak against.
Okay, Alan, sorry, go ahead. You've got to make it loud, noisy, and type at me.
I understand. My first comment is Carlton using Robert's Rules of Robert's Rules of Order at the age of 11 is a very scary thought. I just had to go on record and say that.
I had no choice. The English man who was my English teacher decided it was the case.
It's still scary. I feel comfortable with it. I hadn't realized there were translations available, and if there are, we should try to find pointers to them. But my experience says that most of the rules are never used at all, but it is good having a fallback, so thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Cheryl for the transcript record. Thank you, Alan. And I'm seeing other support in the chat. And obviously, Sala, yes, you are correct. If there are instances where the Robert's Rules
one
need
minute
adjustment.
Remains.
Well, that's scary.
Cheryl, it's Alan. Normally the process is if something is in our rules explicitly, it does override. So we readily have the ability to override should something be a little bit too... I think that the danger is having some things in Robert's Rules or any other similar document being too complex, that more than we need to run our own meetings, especially since in most cases we want to make decisions by consensus. So those we can easily override explicitly in the... in our document.
Thank you, Alan, and Cheryl here for the record, and for the record, you took the words right out of my mouth. Absolutely, couldn't agree with you more. Is there anyone who wishes to speak against this, or we will put this as a consensus, and this will also be a piece of advice out to the RALOs and, of course, in reporting to the ALAC. Can anyone tell me if anyone's objecting or calling for the microphone? Hearing nothing, we will say that we have agreed on that. Excellent. Oh dear, I've forgotten the final thing we need to agree on. Ah yes, I haven't. I've now remembered it. The other thing we need to discuss is in which drafting team do we desire the matters of expansion of the... the purpose of the ALAC that are not specifically limited or perhaps are embellishments on what is in the bylaws. The natural home for it, I would have thought, was in drafting team one, looking at description and definitions. Is this where we want to have it enshrined at the high level rather than at the operational level? I've heard Alan speak to that as his preferred method, and I think perhaps it may have been an indication from his drafting team as well. But let's open the floor on that one.
Sergio and me in the list.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Sergio.
Thank you. First of all, happy birthday, Olivier. This is Sergio speaking. I have some doubts regarding the Robert rules or the UN rules. As you know, in Latin America, our rules are different from those of the Commonwealth, and we, the Latin or Latino people, need to really study these rules because we really do not know if they fit our mindset or our conception of the law. So I think it would be useful to take at least a brief time so as to really determine whether the Robert rules that most of you know, and I'm glad to hear about it, but we should determine if these rules are more convenient than the UN rules. And I wanted to say this for the record because it is not clear to me what our position will be on this point. Thank you.
Cheryl, are you there?
Training a video or something to bring everybody up to speed. I'm sure it's not just a regional thing. There are many people who would not be familiar with Robert's Rules. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, first of all, in response to that, I'll note that we are a rather diverse group, and we're not going to find anything that everyone is familiar with at the beginning. What we're looking for is something which is a reasonable compromise. So I think we need to keep that in mind. With regard to the original question you asked, which I think was, where do we define exactly what the ALEC is and what it does? And I'm not convinced that belongs. I have no real strong objection to it being in our rules, but I'm not sure it belongs in the rules. I think that's a meta document that needs to exist, but I don't think whether we have one particular mandate or another changes the rules of operation. So I'm not convinced this document is the right home for it, although I have no real objection to it, but I think it adds a level of complication to our work that I'm not sure we need. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, Cheryl, for the transcript record. So what I might suggest here is that we don't put that point through to consensus for this call, but that what we might do is ask the drafting team to for definitions to consider a response to your proposal for our next meeting, which we will look at also online between now and the next meeting. And the idea of having a set of fairly lean but effective rules which are supplemented by more mobile, more easily updated SOPs or standard operational procedure documents is something I'm very happy to pursue. It's far easier to change an annex or an appendix, and it makes it for a far more flexible and responsive ALAC or organisation, and things like Jean-Jacques' intervention can then have a fully robust, appropriate discussion, consensus points raised, and they can be integrated more easily into a supporting document, which is not is obviously operational, but is not so much a rules of procedure document. So I like that concept. So let's not try and put that through to consensus, but let's have that at now out for discussion between now and the next meeting. And I would ask draft team one, and indeed anyone else, but particularly drafting team one, to chew on that between now and our next get together. I'm just catching up with some of the chat. Okay, don't think we've missed anything in particular. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to this matter?
Yeah, it's Alan. I'm not quite sure about some of the references in the chat that I didn't think that anyone was attempting to be dictatorial. I thought we were trying to reach consensus, and that's somewhat different.
Yes, I must say, Cheryl here from Transcript Records, that particular comment threw me a little bit as well. One of the advantages of having a set of established and agreed to rules is that it becomes a culture rather than a dictatoring situation, with the possible exception of when the issue of responsibility of the chair is brought in. But that is also going to be something that we're going to be discussing, and the principles particularly well-defined. What I'd like to move to now in the last part of our call is the how we're going to approach this this in terms of logistics. But I just want to see if there's anyone who wishes to speak on this matter before we move on to the next agenda item.
This is Salton, Chair, for the record. I can't see the chat, so I don't know what's going on there. But I'm quite distressed to hear that there's a sense that the discussion about how we proceed is considered dictatorial.
Yes, thank you, Carlton. Sure, for the record, the chat will be sent out to the mailing list, so we'll be able to catch up on that. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. It's Olivier for the transcript record. Having frantically just gone through the web and tried to find some various translations of Robert's Rules, and having been beaten to the cord by Heidi with regards to the Spanish translation that is that she sent over to the chat a little bit earlier, I also looked for a French version of it, and I actually fell on a text which was, I wouldn't say critical, but certainly which echoed some of what my friend and colleague Sergio just mentioned there with regards to non-Anglo-Saxons' view of Robert's Rules as being very Anglo-Saxon rules. It is interesting. It's an interesting text, and I do see that there might be some reticence in non-Anglo-Saxons to follow this for purely cultural reasons. My personal view on that, it's something to be aware of, but bearing in mind that we do have to think of a set of rules for the whole of ALAC, it's something that we should be perhaps ready to consider following as a good fallback in order to have a harmonious international fallback on this rather than having an unclear set of fallback. I hope I have been clear in saying what I've just said.
Thank you, Olivia. Cheryl, for the transcript record. Can I ask that that we make sure that document that you found is sent through at least to staff, if not chatter staff, so that we can also have that link on our page, because it is important that we have a full, frank and fearless discussion on this. But I do need to point out to you all that a Rules of Procedure Review Working Group has the job of setting the rules. So providing you all come to consensus or near consensus, what you agree is what goes to the ALAC, the ALAC then, and it is only the ALAC's business, will either accept as is, modify and then accept, or tell us we've done a lousy job and that we need to start again. So there's sort of three options, if not a fourth, which I really won't go into here. Thank you very much for that link.
Hands up from Sergio and me, Alan.
Thank you very much. Sergio, okay, Carlton. Sergio, Alan, and then Carlton. And I really do need to move on to the next agenda item then. Go ahead, Sergio.
Thank you. This is Sergio Salinas Porto for the record.
I just want to make a point of clarification. I am not speaking about a cultural issue. However, what I understand is that the people proposing these rules are fully familiarized with them. So we want some time to study the rules in order to determine whether these are the right rules. Maybe we could suggest a Roman law code or any other type of code. But what we are saying is that we just want to read the rules, understand them, and then maybe we can agree on the fact that they may be the best rules available. So this is not a question of north against south or east against west. This is just that we want to become familiar with the rules. And those proposing these rules are familiar with these rules because they go hand in hand with their conception of the law. In our mindset or culture, we have codified laws. Since we are dealing with international law and we have to reach an agreement, no doubt, we will have to learn how people in the Commonwealth world work and see which rules are going to be the most suitable. Thank you.
Cheryl, should I go next? It's Alan speaking.
As I said earlier, perhaps even a little in-service or discussion just on that topic alone. I have Alan, and then I have Carlton. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, thank you. Just a quick reference. Sergio made reference to the Commonwealth. I don't believe these are Commonwealth rules as far as I know. Cheryl may be familiar with them, but in general they originated several hundred years ago in the U.S. have spread to many other countries, but I don't think they're Commonwealth as such. What I was going to mention, however, is just a bit of history. I've now been associated with the ALAC for 6 years, or 6 years by the end of the summer, and never once, to my knowledge, have we ever had to look at the U.N. rules for clarification with regard to anything happening in the ALAC. It has happened with regard to something happening in Arelo, but never in the ALAC. So I think we need to be careful how much time we spend on this. Thank you.
This is Carl.
Not can I go ahead? Going to, yes, just one moment, Carl. I was not going to suggest that we go through the whole history of it, but Robert's Rules history will also be annexed to the discussion page. And as a Republican, I can assure you it is not a Commonwealth set of laws. Go ahead, Carlton.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to make two exceptions, that you could hardly call me an Anglo-Saxon, and therefore I would take offense to that nomenclature. For me personally. Secondly, Alan made the point that I wanted to make, and I would just bounce the rubble a little bit. We have never had at the ALAC level to go to the UNGA rules. It is precisely because the UNGA rules are so complex that if we have a difficulty understanding the Roberts rules, it is hardly likely we will understand the UNGA rules. And quite frankly, in my own opinion, there are very few of us who even understand the UNGA rules, even the small portion of it that we have come into contact with. So I would really urge that we don't spend too much time trying to debate what we think is going to be a good interpretation authority, because that is where this Roberts rule is most important, as an interpretation authority. So I would urge us not to be too drawn into this issue of deciding the origination of Robert's rules and why it should be suspect. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carlton, and I certainly agree with that, and certainly I think, Sergio, to your point, what we need to do is important in terms of socialisation of these rules, whatever they are, the rules of procedure for the ALAC, and any reference documentation, be they Roberts or anything else, that will be used as supporting or reinforcing documentation. So we do need to make sure we have all of this very clear, because we all move on, disappear, and new people come into our roles. And whilst some of us might have a reasonable working knowledge of some of these things, the next crop may indeed be total babes in the woods and have no knowledge or experience on matters of meetings or formal rules of procedure at all. So what we have to build needs to be robust, yet simple and easily understood. If I can call that to a draw to close now, noting that we will be coming back to this topic on future conversations, and now get for the next few minutes looking at the logistics. SANA has put any number of logistical proposals into the chat today, and I won't even try and go back to the beginning to review them all, but I will respond to one of them, that is the last one on my screen, which she says the following. This is Sala in chat. I would suggest an information paper be sent to the RALOs after it is agreed upon. Then draft working groups can be tasked with drafting 14 working days and publish on the conference workspace for cross-pollination from other groups and the broad at large community in another 14 days to revise and publish, etc., etc., back to the second draft. The working mechanism in the second part of your proposal there, Sara, I think is definitely the way we will be going forward. We will be using the confluence working spaces, and I've got a couple of other things I need to check with staff and make sure we all understand and agree on in the next few minutes. But I want to be really clear about the RALO input on all of this. These are AULAC rules of procedure, first and foremost. That is our primary purpose, to review those. Yes, there is also an effect on the regional at large organisational rules. But first and foremost, we need to satisfy the needs of the AULAC. The AULAC, of course, is RALO represented in a two-thirds to one-third balance. And so whilst we need to engage the regions and the ALSs, certainly punctuating some information updates into their regional meetings, I would think that the majority of the interaction will be via the wiki workspace with the general at large community being able to make comments on. But we don't want to make anyone think that these are RALO led rules. They are AULAC led rules, and it's an AULAC work group that we are. We're regionally balanced, but we are in fact working for the AULAC at this point in time. So I just wanted to make that really clear so we don't let any of the chat lead any of the regions to believe that there is a deterministic approach here. These rules do need to operate for the AULAC first and foremost. Now, that said, yes, go ahead. Who was that? Yes, Sally, I'm doing obviously the RALOs need to be consulted, that should go without saying. But it is consultation and information. Their ability to influence what happens here comes through the representatives they have in this work group. Okay, so if I can now look at some of the logistics. We have, I believe, all agreed that we will have three separate workspaces as subpages, that the particular mandate for each will be clear and they're written out in the top section of it, and that we have the opportunity for comment and iteration of drafting to go on and be put on the wiki space. I also believe that there was a request to have separate mailing lists set up for each of the three teams, so drafting teams. So I'll let staff think about that while I recognise Fatina. Go ahead, please, Fatina.
Cheryl, this is Silvia Vivanco. Can you repeat regarding the mailing list, please? Is this an action item?
We'll get to that in a second. I was just waiting for Fatima.
Okay.
Veronica, do we have Fatima or not? Okay, I'm not hearing anything, so Fatima, if you do wish to make a point, you might need to re-engage. I'm unsure whether we've lost the line or whether we're just not hearing the interpreters from the Spanish channel. Okay, anyone else wish to... yes, go ahead.
Sorry, it's Gisela, just to say we're looking into it.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Okay, now, let me deal with Sylvia's question. There was a request during, at least, I thought, if not a Skype channel, it may have been an email request, but it was towards the close of the Pride meeting. The suggestion was that a mini mailing list be set up for each of the drafting teams to allow them to discuss issues in email, either as an adjunct or prior to things being put onto the Confluence wiki pages that we will be setting up. I know I supported that concept, and I believe Olivier did as well. So, Sylvia, if we haven't already set that up, it's something that should then be a start AI.
Okay, I will take notes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. Now, what that also does, of course, if we're setting up mini mailing lists, is it allows us to go to our full membership of the Rules of Procedure Review Workgroup and the Metrics Workgroup, and ask people to subscribe or to ask or to mention that they want to be subscribed to any or all of those. So that will also make sure we have a good team on each, and it will allow some people to multitask on several drafting teams. Another piece of administration I'd like to have sorted at this call is if we could have a nominal lead, a person who acts in the true meaning of the word rapporteur for each of the drafting teams. In other words, someone who will own the responsibility of getting things onto the wiki and reporting back to our meetings when we have them. How would you like to proceed on that? Do you want to... have each drafting team nominate a rapporteur in its mailing list and then advise us, or do you want to self-nominate now? What is it you would like to do? Over to you. The floor is open, and people will need to tell me if there's any hands up.
The team's hand is up still, and mine is, it's Alan.
Okay, let's try for Fatima. Fatima, do we have you now?
This is Fatima speaking. Yes, I'm connected.
Excellent. Please go ahead.
This is Fatima speaking. One comment on the previous point. I don't know if I can make my comment now or later on.
Yes. No, yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Fatima speaking.
My comment has to do with RALO consultation. I understand that all members of all RALOs are invited to be part of this working group. Therefore, I find it difficult to understand what we would be, what information we would be conveying to the RALOs so that they can debate and decide. Maybe we can send them information at a later stage when we have something more elaborated, and then they can debate that. I have a comment on the rules. I agree with Olivier in that we should be more open-minded, and we should enshrine different cultures and legal systems that coexist in ALEC. And I agree in that if we are going to change, we should take some time to come up with something which is the clearest, simplest option, because as Carlton said, the UN rules are very complicated and very few of us really know them. So if the Roberts rules are more appropriate, I agree in that we should keep them, but we should study them first. Our ALAC rules should be self, should exist in themselves, and then we should have some supplementary or complementary rules. And regarding the rapporteur, each working group or sub-working group should choose its own rapporteur. Thank you.
Thank you, Fatima, and I do agree with you, although I think it's important for us to feed out to the region some updates, just as we need to feed out to the ALAC some updates. So I certainly am of the school of thought that says we put out some statements that says this is what we've done, and here are the current consensus points. Here is a link to the Wiki workspaces. I'm not asking for more than that. And I think, Sala, you and your group need to take careful note of those views. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say something to the extent of what Fatima just said, that we need rules, but let's not get hung up on them. The basic day-to-day operational rules should be made clear in our own rules of procedure. Whether it's Robert's rules or the UN rules, they deal with things like if you make a motion and it's going to be amended, is it a friendly amendment, is it a not friendly amendment? All of those things are what we're talking about. They need defining, but they're not really onerous. They're not really important. It simply sets a procedure and a priority for doing things. And I think that's the important issue. It's not really going to change what the outcome is. It just establishes process. In terms of the group setting, who does the drafting and who does the reporting, I think each group can set its own, but let's make sure we do this quickly. We don't have all that much time to debate this. And lastly, with regard to the mailing list, on a previous call, I know we did have discussions about mailing lists, because I remember you and I and maybe Olivier saying that we wanted to be on all four mailing lists.
Correct.
So someone in our history, we should have a record of those. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And I think what that means is we clarify the mini mailing list. We ask people to be subscribed or self-subscribe to each of those, any or all of them, and that should happen in the next 3 to 4 days. Once those mailing lists are established and over the same time period, although perhaps up to 7 days or so, we will have the individual Wiki workspaces spruced up and the notes, etc., from the breakout session plus other material from this call and previous calls integrated into them. And that each of those mailing lists and workspaces will allocate or self-nominate a rapporteur whose job it's going to be to feed into these joint meetings. Now, in the next couple of minutes, if there's nothing more on that particular agenda item, what I'd like to do is get Gisela to go over with us the meeting schedule and what the plan is. We're not going to continue to have regular meetings of the whole like this. What will happen if we'll rotate through opportunities to have the actual drafting teams meet in teleconference in a rotational manner, and then every three or four of those we will then come back to a meeting of the whole just to touch base and to integrate. So Gisela, if you've made any sense of my gibberish that I sent you through the week, you might like to try and let everyone know what will be happening with next meeting.
This is Gisela for the transcript, and yes, note will be going out to the various drafting teams once we set up the mailing list. The idea is to have a 3-week cycle. So today on the 9th of July we have the ROP and metrics as a joint call. Next week we are thinking of having the admin meetings group and the exceptional catch-all ones drafting teams, two separate calls on Monday, and we will rotate times. And the following week we will have the drafting team working on the definitions and descriptions, as well as the metrics subcommittee call again. And then the following week we will have, like today, the ROP and metrics put out in email to the various drafting teams.
Thank you, Gisela, Cheryl, for the transcript record. So as you can see, team, what we're trying to do is allow the drafting teams a little bit of breathing space, probably on about a 14-day cycle, although first cab off the rank next week gets less time than that. To have their own meeting space. I believe, Gisela, we can have either 60 or 90 minutes as required. The same only as needs are. You need to have, I think, two or more language requirements to have either French or Spanish channels running. It'll be a matter of rotating. Then gathering on the fourth week to see what we've all done, and then going through the cycle again. We will also put out a project plan timeline, which will be on the Rules of Procedure Review Workgroup page, so if staff could vote an AI on that. Now, the other thing that happens from an administrative point of view is on the, is it Thursday? In the real world, I think it's Friday in my world, we have been having a planning meeting which helps set the agenda and make sure that all the preparation for a call on the Monday is ready to go on either the Thursday or the Friday. To date, that's been the appropriate staff, Olivier and myself. I would suggest that in the future those regular planning meetings, which may only last 10 or 15 minutes, but they can also last an hour, depending on how much work there is to do, should include the rapporteur from any particular drafting team. So, for example, Sala, if you're being the rapporteur for drafting team one, you would be included in the planning meeting for this week, so that the agenda and everything is prepared for the meeting of your drafting team on the Monday, and the same for the exception subgroup. Okay, I need to open the floor now for any final comments and any questions from anyone. I don't know if there's any hands up. Could someone tell me?
No hands.
Okay. Well, it sounds like I've given you all sensory overload. And if there's no any other business or comments from anyone, last call. Dave, seeing as you're here and no one else is at the moment, can I ask you to check with Renalia and Fatimata and Tijani as to who wishes to orchestrate the call for next Monday for your drafting team's work, and they and Sala will be joining us on a planning meeting, and Gizli will send out the appropriate invitations and perhaps even a doodle just to confirm that. Recognising, Gizli, that I'm actually going to be in New Zealand and in conference 2 hours later in New Zealand, so things might need to be a little bit earlier next week, but we'll just have to work on that. Or, of course, you can do without me. All right, if there's nobody else wanting to say anything, I'd like to thank you, each and every one of you, for the time and energy that not only have you put into this to date, but that you will be putting into this between now and Toronto. So look to your emails and make sure you subscribe to any or all of the drafting teams. Thank you. Thank you, interpreters. Thank you, staff. Thank you, one and all. Bye for now.
And thank you, Cheryl.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.